This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Oh, thank you. The Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you. Thank you.
Thank you, the Spirit of the Father.
For we pray the Father will send to you another Comforter. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive. But you have it, it shall be in you. But you know him, for he shall dwell with you and shall be in you. Oh, the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of truth. Thank you. Honor you, Jesus. Give you praise, our Father. Oh, thank you. Honor you, Son of God. Glory to you, Jesus, which is in you. Oh, you know him. Oh, the Spirit of your Father, which dwelleth in you, the one that will speak. Thank you, Jesus. Felinaro testebrado kaka. Zailaro kaparanastas. Oh, the Spirit of your Father, Begaronastas. Philailostas, Sanstolo, Sastilakos. Oh, Limastefrenemakorestos. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, angel that is here. Thank you for your Spirit that is here. Thank you for light that is shining. The light of the things new, things of God, that is being delivered to us by your Spirit. Yea, the Spirit, such a thing, yea, the deep things of God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the Spirit of the Father that searches all things, the things of God. The things of God. Such as it, such is man. No, what is in the man. There's the spirit of man. Thank you for the things of God that have been searched out. Glory to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God for how the Lord helped us. I want to thank God for... I was just feeling my utterance in prayer. I was talking about the word of Spirit. I was mentioning the Spirit of your Father. And as I was praying, I was seeing things that in that book of Matthew, that said that do not take thought in Matthew chapter 10 from verse 19. But when they deliver you, take no thought how or what you shall speak. Take no thought of how or worth, how and worth ye shall speak. For it shall be given unto you in that same hour what you shall speak. That job brought to my remembrance. This is Matthew 10:19. That's in our what you shall speak. And in 20 say, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. The Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. So you know that these thoughts of taking thoughts of our what to speak, you have to be thought of things how or speak, how to be things, high things, things that kings, magistrates, council, and those council that he's talking about there, they are councils of Gentiles, men that are wise of this world. In that Matthew 10:18, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. And you know, governors and kings of those days are not like what we have now. They were raised and tutored. They were under strong government and tutored to raise. So they were very, very wise. So the wisdom that you will speak to the tutor and governors, it cannot be the wisdom of the present. and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. And this continue from the beatitude. You know, Jock, I taught this thing, beatitude in Matthew 5, that you can be persecuted for my sake. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and so I say, all man of evil against you falsely for my sake. So, you know, for the sake here, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So you can see that the people that we are talking about here, these are men that they, for my sake, it's for my sake, for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And what? So you can see, it's the sake of the kingdom of heaven. It's the sake of the, for righteousness' sake. Righteousness' sake, if it is, for there is the kingdom of heaven. So this is a righteousness that gives you entrance into the kingdom of heaven. So it can't be any other righteousness but the righteousness of the kingdom that is in the Holy Ghost. What he told them in Matthew 5:20 later, that I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall no well enter unto the kingdom of heaven. So you can see the righteousness that excel. The righteousness that excel. Our excel in there is having a righteousness that is that what? That have abundance. To excel righteousness is if things be in you. And what? And abound. To have excel in righteousness is to have abounding righteousness. So if it's an abounding or abundance of righteousness, it's to have abounding righteousness. Excel. So the way that thing was stated, to have entrance into what? The kingdom of heaven. For you to see the kingdom of heaven, for you to enter the kingdom of God, and for you what? To inherit. You cannot enter if you are not being born of the water and the spirit. So you can see that these are people that have the water and spirit. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not just only for, but say when you are brought before governors and kings in that Matthew 10 from 17. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and they will scourge you in their synagogues. I'm trying to show you things, you know, before a man can speak by the spirit of your father. What to have the spirit of the father, not just that you have the water. The spirit of the father, and you have to be born of the water and the spirit, which was written in John chapter 3, 5 to 7. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, the spirit of your father, born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is John 3. So, kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven. I mean, to have access to heaven, that kingdom of heaven, we call it kingdom of heaven. In Peter, that we read, that I told you for you, so abide this thing, and you are bound in them. To have them, and you are bound in them. 2 Peter 1, 8 to 10. For if this thing be in you, and are bound, they make you not that barren, nor fruitful in the world, not let your Lord Jacob boast. He that lack this thing is blind, and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give rather diligence to make your calling and election sure. If so, this thing, if you do this thing, ye shall never fail. So an entrance shall be ministered unto abundantly into everlasting kingdom. So you can see, for you to have righteousness as zealots, or they persecute you for righteousness' sake. But if you see, I'm just trying to see that Matthew 5, it was a build-up. It was not just one. Blessed are they which persecute for righteous sake. This is righteous sake. For their righteous sake there is the righteousness of the gospel of Christ. You have done that. Persecuted you for righteousness sake. They persecute for righteousness. Righteousness sake here is not the works of Christ. Righteousness sake here is the life, the end of the commandment of the promise of life that now is. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I think you have done righteousness' sake, you have done faith, hope, and the end of the commandment. You have now have righteousness as a garment or as a life. have righteousness as a garment. A garment that you can use to enter the kingdom. And the garment you can use to enter the kingdom is a life. So that righteousness there is life. It's life. That's the Christ life. It's Christ life. If Christ be in you, Romans 8. If Christ be in you. If Christ be in you. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's me. What's righteousness? It's Christ being in you or Christ being formed in you. The body is dead because of sin. Because there's no way Christ has been formed in you that the body will not be dead to sin. But the spirit. So can you say, a man that have not just Christ for me? He has the spirit. Yes, sir. He has the spirit. Yes, sir. He has gone through the word of Christ. Amen. He has gone through the law of Christ. He's now having the spirit of life. Because you can't have the spirit of life. You can't have the spirit which is life if you have not had the law of the spirit of life. And you cannot have the law of the spirit of life if you have not had the word of Christ. If Christ be in you, Romans 8:10. Because you can't just have the spirit of your father. We must have something first. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The spirit is life because of right. So when your spirit is not life, when it's not just the law, the spirit is not life. What I have in my heart, I know last time I shared, I was talking about spirit, agency of the word, agency of the law, agency of the spirit. It's the law of the spirit. Because sometimes you have heard or teach that both the law is spirit and life is spirit. They say law is spirit, life is also spirit. Those are things in Christ. Because when you say the things of God, when a man have the word that I see is spirit and life. You can hear someone say the law is spirit now. Why do you now say, why do you say the law is truth and blood is spirit? There are degree of spirit. That what is in my spirit. There are degree of spirit. There's a spirit as the law. And there's a spirit spirit agency. Spirit law agency as spirit. And spirit agency as what? As life. So when you get the spirit of your father that dwelleth in you, but the spirit of your father who speaketh in you. If a man can have the spirit of the father speaking in him, the spirit that speaketh in you here is the law. Is the law. It's not the word. Neither is the agency of the law that speaketh. Because why did I say spirit? Because the testimony speaketh. The blood of the river speaketh. It's in the word of speak. You move into the word of speak. Say the word of speak. The word of that speaketh is testimony. Testimony speaketh. Speak. The book is sayings. And that's why you read in John chapter 12, 46, 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he given me a commandment, comma. He gave me a commandment, that's the word. Yes. What I should say and what I should speak. So this what to speak is the test. He gave me a commandment. In the commandment is what I should say and what I should speak. What I should say is prophecy, the book. What I should speak is the law, agency of the law. So, but you cannot have a commandment if you have not done the word. It's the word that gives the other two commandments. The commandment of what to speak and what to say. The speaking is the law. Let's see, book of Hebrews, chapter 9. When Moses has finished speaking. For when a testament is, there must also be of necessity the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Likewise, it is no strength at all when the testator lives. Wherefore, upon the first testament was dedicated with her blood. For when Moses has spoken every precept to all the people according to the law. So you see the law. He took the blood. So the law should move into the blood, which is the covenant. And land in testimony. So the law is spirit also. So though I said life is spirit, but there's the spirit of the law. The law that is in God is spirit, is the spirit. So they call it the spirit of your father. The spirit of your father. But that spirit of your father, you is righteousness. Which look, I taught it. Blessed are they that I persecute for righteousness' sake. So this righteousness sake is life, which I read for us in Romans 8:10. Righteousness sake. They only persecute you. Persecuting you is not commandment. What they persecute you for is a life, which also you find in Romans 10. That for Christ, Christ being you, that is Romans 8. The body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. When a man has arrived at the spirit as a life, righteousness is a life. The spirit is life because of righteousness. So when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, you have moved not just from the word, you have moved not just from the law of Christ, you have arrived at the spirit of life. The spirit of life. The spirit is life. So that life is not righteousness, but they render it in Romans 10, verse 4. Look at it. For Christ is the end of the law. What? For righteousness to everyone that believeth. You believe Christ to the end. You have believed Christ to the end. It's righteousness. You have your life called righteousness. Just like your spirit became Christ because they imputed a life called righteousness to you. They imputed your spirit are quickened. And by your quickening, they imputed righteousness to your spirit. Then you became life. You are life because of righteousness.
Yes, sir.
That's what make Abraham that liveth. Because they imputed righteousness to him. It does not consider the deadness Sarah's womb or the deadness of his own body. But who believe, who hope against hope? So you believed and hope against hope. When you have used belief is faith, hope against hope. From faith, hope. And obey hope until he was purified and did charity. He did love work. And then they imputed righteousness. They account righteousness to him as a life. In Romans 4. For what said the scripture? Romans 4:3. Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him. It was counted. They kept on counting. They count. It was three commandments. They were counting his commandment. Unto him for righteousness. So now see how they counted it. They now began to stay out. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before in whom he believed. Even God who quickened the dead, but not only quickened the dead. How does God quicken the dead? God quicken the dead with word. God quicken with word. When you read Psalm 119, you see that. They use word to quicken the dead. Because what the dead need is the word.
Yes, sir.
Not the law. What the dead need is to raise them up. And what the dead need is to beat them up. Is to beat up at the dead. You find the same thing in the book of Ezekiel. Can they dry bone live again? The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. He carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of valley which were full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley. And look, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O Lord God, that knoweth. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. And said unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So what that which is dead needs is the word of the Lord. Is the word of the Lord. And what the word of the Lord does is to quicken. To quicken is to build up back. To quicken is to raise up. Is to raise up. To quicken is to raise up. You find that in Bible, John chapter 5. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them. So, what will need quicken is the dead that they quicken. Which agree with Ephesians chapter 2. And you are the quickened, we are dead. So, what a soul that is quickening need A dead need is quickening. You need the word of God. The word of God is agency. Because the dead can hear the word. The dead in Christ, they hear the sound, the voice of an archangel. That voice is operation of the word. So just like they say, that voice, final voice, the last trump, but there are, God make another word for the dead. DSCB does not mean that the soul is dead. The dead means the soul is cut off from the land of the living to bring your soul back to the land of the living, to bring you into the land of the living. A soul might have lived by Christ, his righteousness, is have righteousness in him, but they need to do something to the righteousness. They need to quicken him into the world of the living. Because it's not easy to waken a mind to the word of the living. To wake a mind to the word of the living. To wake me, to bring a mind to understanding the word of the living. Because where you need to, what you need to wake up is your understanding. You need to quicken your understanding. You need the word of God to quicken your understanding into the word of the living and the word of the true God. For you to participate and fellowship with the living. Why do you see the dead among the living? It's risen. It's not here. Can you see? It's risen. Why do you see the dead among the living? Among the living. Eh? When they went to the tomb. And as many were afraid, they bowed down with their face to the earth. They said unto him, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. So I'm trying to say that in the word of God, the word of God is quick and powerful. Hebrews chapter 4. The word of God is quick. So the word of God is what they use to quicken your conscience from dead works. Because conscience have a previous work on it to quicken a soul by the agency of the word into the word of the living. Because you cannot even come into that place if you don't have righteousness. What I read? What I read from Romans 8:10 and Romans 10:4, which I was using Romans 4 to talk about, which was the state of Abraham. What did God do to Abraham? First of all, to quicken him. Then, when they quickened him, that he came into righteousness before they brought forth the law. Because you need to bring it to righteousness to come into the world of the living. I'm the God of the living, not the God of the dead. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. For Abraham is not dead, but he lived. And you cannot live without the word of God. Which also, Book of Psalms was saying, you are God, unto whom the word of God is come. So in that Romans 4:17, as it's written, I made thee a father of many nations before whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead. But God does not only quicken the dead. After God has finished quickening the dead, he collects those things. God quickened the dead and collects those things which be not as though they were. What does this thing? This thing is also a programming, because you remember Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the word of faith by the word of God. So that things that we are seeing, we are not made out of the things that do appear. So he quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. In that Hebrews 11:3, true faith we understand the word was framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen, we are not made of things that do appear. As is written, that is Hebrews 11:3 and Romans 4:17, as it's written, I have made thee a father of many nations. I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead. But God does not only quicken the dead. God has things in him that agents of what quickened the dead and collect those things which be not. So that things which are seen, we are made of things which do not appear. And collect those things which be not. As though they were. So, as though they were, I mean those things are not appear as they were. So, those things we are not. So, that things which we are seeing, we are not. The calling of those things which be not. The calling. Call those things which be not. Is so that things which are seen, we are not made of those things that do appear. Those things be not, we are not, which we are made. So it's very, very, very important for us to see that the word quickened. Before in whom he believed, comma, even God, who quickened the dead. And so what God used to quicken the dead is the word. Another word for the dead, there are things that be not.
You know that when something is dead, the thing is dead to me. What does that mean? The thing is no longer existing with me. That thing is be not with me. I'm dead to that thing. Or the thing is dead to me. What does that mean? That to me, that thing does no longer exist. So the agency of the word is to bring forth those things that be not. To make them to appear. There are things that be not in the soul of man that Satan has killed. Satan has stolen. They are no more. It's the place of the word of God to restore them. That's the purpose of the word of God. The word of God is to restore back vitality. That's the sense of the word of God. It's the word of God is to form things back. To raise things that be not man back. Things that are not in you anymore. Cannot that thing be you? The word of God bring those things that be not. Is to bring back, raise the dead. And these things are the things, new things of God. A man that this word of God can walk upon is a man that already is righteousness that the word of God can walk upon. That your righteousness simply means you have things new, all things new, but you don't have all things new of God. A man can have new things of creature of God, but he does not have new things of God. There are new things creature, but there are new things begotten of God. Those are the two things that make up New Testament. New things creature and new things begotten of God. New things creature are Christ things. Because Christ is a creature. Christ is a new creature. But it's a creature that is of God. Is a creature of God. But beyond creature of God, there are new things begotten of God. Things that are begotten. What's begotten? Things that come out of the essence, eternal divine gene of God. God generated them. Not what God creates from himself. God did that God generate. What God generates is therefore what God begot. God can create things out of himself. God can create things out of himself. Things that God creates out of himself is called Christ. Out of who he is, God can create things. God can make a creature out of himself. His own essence. But beyond what God can create out of himself, which are creature, God can also born things out of himself. What born out of himself is higher than what God created out of himself. What God created out of himself is called Christ. What God born, begat out of himself, God called them sons. Thing that God begat is called his sons. But thing that God created is called Christ. Striking difference between Christ and Son of God. Because God is both a creator. But God is not only a creator. God is also what? A father. He born things. So if what you know about God is that God is a creator, can create you by himself, can create you of his own self. God can create you, but God can of his own self also begat you. Yes. So God can of his own self create you out of himself. God can his own self begat you. It's what you want. When God of his own self creates you, you are still susceptible to corruption. You are susceptible to corruption. Because he creates of you of his own self, but you are still susceptible to corruption. You are still corruptible when God of his own self creates you. But when God of his own self begat you, you are higher than corruption. You are incorruptible. You will become incorruptible. You become incorruptible because what is of his own self begat you. But if of his own self creates you, you are just a new creature. But you are susceptible to corruption. And every corruption must put on incorruption. You are still corruptible. And every corruptible must put on incorruption. Every corruptible must put on incorruption. So a man, Christ can be in you. And when Christ be in you, the body is there because of sin. That can be in you. It's not your spirit. Christ is in your spirit. Or your spirit is in you. It's not being be in you. There is your soul. Christ be in your soul, or Christ have been formed in your soul, like what he said in Galatians 4. The body is there because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Your soul as righteousness as a life, which is what I said Romans 10, 4 was talking about. This is Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the end. When you are Christ, is the end of the law for righteousness. The end of the law here is not the law of Moses. It's the end of the law of the spirit of life in Christ. Christ is the end of the law. That means you have done all the law. You have done the law. Start with the faith on toward charity. Because the law has commandments. You have done all the commandment of the law, which starts with faith, hope, and charity. That means your conscience has been made good. Your soul has been purified by hope. Because both faith by the substance of things hoped for, which is the materiality of faith, purify your heart. And by purifying your heart, when your heart has been purified, you will do the commandments of charity. First Timothy. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. So you can't do charity if your heart is not pure. You can't do charity if your heart is not pure. And your heart cannot be pure without your conscience being good by faith. And your heart cannot be pure without hope. Because everyone that has this hope himself, purify himself. So you have done the end of the law. At the end of the law is charity. In that Romans 10, 4. The end of the law. For Christ is the end of the law. The law there is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We start with faith for the conscience. Commandment of faith on the conscience that made the conscience good. So that commandment of faith is understanding. Understanding that come into you. When you need to load with understanding, for you to be able to respond and do those understanding, unusual understanding, which is not like understand, because the entrance of faith is entrance of understanding, or entrance of faith, yes, out of his word into your heart that give understanding. Word have not entered your heart if there's no light and understanding in your heart. You come into understanding and you walk by faith, you walk by light. When you walk by light, you respond to faith instruction, faith understanding that he brings to you, and you respond to those impression of understanding, breakthrough understanding that you have. And when you break into understanding, understanding will make your conscience good. You find judgments and righteousness. Understanding of what is right. The only thing is righteous God revealed from faith to faith. When I talk God is to be revealed to you, faith is being revealed to you. Faith is work at work from faith to faith. Then you move into hope of righteousness. And what? You purify your heart. So I said to have good conscience, to have clean hands. Because conscience is the hand that holds things. Your judgment, your standard in your conscience that you use to relate with things, with people. That's where you fetch direction. So when you have done that, there are parameters. So another of judgment are parameters. Another of righteousness is standard. Another of standard is standard, judgment are parameters. Understanding raises your parameters. We have what they call parameters. We can say parameters is your fence, your boundary. Faith says boundary for your conscience. Faith will give boundary to you. The boundary of life that you don't want to cross. So that boundary that you should stay in for you to live. Those are what faith does upon your conscience. Because formally, it's either your conscience have boundary that are narrow. That does not make you to receive some things. Like those who have weak conscience that cannot receive other brethren. Except the brethren that look like them, that don't have hearing, that are on low cut, that are not using lipstick, or in your own soul, you're a libertarian. You take everybody, Muslim, Christian, everybody, Buddha, everybody, you don't care. You just do things anyhow. Understand of the word. Knowledge of the word of God will come. Faith bring forth boundary, parameters. A set of parameters. Yes, bringing a parameter to your conscience is what makes your conscience good. What's in your conscience before are extreme or they are very narrow. So when faith comes, the word of God comes, light comes. Light enlightens you. Faith lightens you up. It begins to show you God's understanding, how God sees things. You have understanding. Having understanding means you have come into judgment and you have come into what? Standards are raised as understanding for your soul. So I call the both judgments and standard as parameters. That's what faith does. Faith raises parameters in you. You have another parameters. Parameter is also used to weigh things. You determine things. You set a parameter for things. What's another parameter for things? Things to use to measure. things you used to compare. That's what faith does. When faith enters your heart, you have now things to use to compare. You have things now to use to measure, which are parameters. Formerly, you used to use some things to measure and compare things. Word of God will bring to your soul another thing you use as to compare. You have something you use to compare. What you use to compare is your conscience. Your judgment. Standard in your conscience. That's what you use to compare. That's what you use to measure. They are the one you use for check and balances. But righteousness, word of God, bring forth new parameter for check, for compare. Because anything that does not agree with your conscience, you don't take it. The thing you accept to come to you, things you accept to do, is things that your conscience agree with. It takes a man that is conscience that men have violated their conscience. It is after you have violated conscience again and again, and the conscience has been rewritten. If you have a natural conscience, you must have violated it again to have done something, then the thing you have violated to do will now become another parameter for you to now tolerate those things. A new standard, a new judgment. That is the work of the word of God. That's the work of the faith of God. That is what they call the way in a man's soul. That's the way of Christ. Or in the season of the Son of God, that's the way of the Son of God. Or in the season of the Father, that's the way of the Father, the way of God, way of everlasting the man's soul, depending on the dispensation that you are handling. Every dispensation of the way comes by the word of God or comes by the faith. Is that the faith of Jesus under the Son or precious faith or most holy faith? Because different faith, each of the faith comes as a result of the word of Christ, the word of the Father, and the word of God, most holy faith. And so what they do is that they set up a new measuring gauge, a new compare measure. What you used to not compare, check, bar. So they begin to build it again. They restore it back. Those things we are stolen away, those things we are corrupted, you need to restore it back by the word of God. For you to have a new sense of what is right according to faith of the word of Christ, according to the state of the word of God. So restoration of faith in the heart is the restoration of life. You bring back to life things that are dead. Isaiah, someone called it dead like that. He's called them, I rise from the dust. I rise from the dust in Isaiah. Because you put dust on the dead. From the dust. Or people put ashes and dust anytime they lose somebody in the Old Testament. It's a state of the dead. Where you say, dust for the dust, ash for ashes, it's on the dead. So when you hear Isaiah say, shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. So when you hear the word state of dust, it's state of the dead. From the dust you are taken out from, and from the dust you shall return. You talk about deadness, death. What quicken out of the dead is the word. Is the word. Is the agency of the word. And I've described what the word does. The word is to restore back to you parameters. To restore back to you gauge. What you used to compare. What you used to measure of righteousness. That's why immediately Abraham believed God. Yes, for daring is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith to everyone that believeth. What they are? They credit righteousness on him. They impute righteousness. They will see you do the measurement. They will see you do those things, comparing according to what heaven is revealing to you. And as you respond to those understanding, they see you respond to them. Because now something to reference. Another word for righteousness, you have reference. Reverence. Not reverence. Reference. Faith, we put reference. Thing you can use to reference. What's another for reference? Reference to compare, to measure. If it's in the HR language, you will set up standard because you measure your performance with standard. Your performance is what you do with standard. Under management, they call it control. That's the law of control. Control in management. Comparing standard. You introduce control to reconcile. In accounting, we call it control. Account. To control, to reconcile the difference. Sometimes a man can fall short of the righteousness of God. Or can fall short of faith that have been revealed. Righteousness there is not your life. Now, started with righteousness as a life. But you can do righteousness as commandment. You do righteousness as commandment. of faith till you do it and come to the end of righteousness as a life. So righteousness can be a commandment when it's still a standard, a judgment you are doing. But when righteousness is a life, then you have to embody it as a life. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness sake. So for there is, so I said, this righteousness is the life. It's the life of Christ. For there is the heaven of heaven. Those are the ones that will give entrance into the heaven, heavenly kingdom. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So this one is higher than 10. You are persecuted for righteousness, for the life of Christ's sake. That righteousness take me for godliness' sake. You have attained godliness. A man that is being governed by the, not just the law, but you are governed by the spirit, by the life. You are governed by both by the spirit, by the law of spirit, and by the spirit, which is life, which is righteousness, which is godly. So that one, blessed are they that are persecuted for godly life's sake. For there is the kingdom of heaven. We believe godly. It is to live. You are living. 2 Timothy 3:4. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is this persecution. This is when they are persecuting you for my sake. In that Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Not just not for righteousness alone, for my sake. Speak evil. They do not persecute you alone. They do not revile you alone, but they speak all manner of evil against you falsely. Now, for my own sake. Because now you are, my sake means is the son of the living God and the son of the true God. You're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake in Christ. When you have Christ's life, in this season, when you are having the word of God, be ready also to be persecuted. Be ready to be persecuted. Men, wherever you, they will persecute you and speak all manner. If a man, you easily be affected by what people say about you. You won't go far with the Son of God. Immediately, you have Christ's life and you enter to the kingdom of heaven. Be ready for them to say all manner of evil against you. That's why people, your brethren, will hate you. I read for us from Isaiah, who hated you and cast you out. Your brethren there, some of the brethren are men that are, you do righteousness sake together. And some of these brethren may even be brethren outside your community. Christian. So, when for my sake there is for both the sake of my word and the sake of my law. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you, firstly for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. To move into the word of rejoicing and exceedingly glad. Word of rejoice. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. So this one is not that they have entered in front of, there is the kingdom of heaven, but here is what they're going to receive in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophet. Now I say something there. That these are prophets. I say these people that they speak more man of evil. They are not just servants of the word. They are prophets of testimony. They have the law. They are prophets of the law. They have the law, the covenant, the testimony. That's where they are prophets. Because they are complaining them. For so persecuted the prophets. You are not a prophet if you are not in being with the law, covenant, and testimony. You are not just a servant of the word. A servant, a prophet with testimony, with covenant. So this persecution here is not persecuting you for righteousness that make you enter the kingdom. But now this is a persecution of another righteousness of both the word and the law, which concluded what? In testimony. Which is spirit. Which is the spirit. Because the law is the spirit, is the law of the spirit. And also, they can also persecute you for the life of the Son of God or the life of the Father in you. They can persecute when you are living the life of the Father. And what's the life of the Father? Be holy. As every heavenly Father is holy. Or your Father which is in heaven is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1. But as he which hath called you is holy. So remember, God will quicken it and call it. He who has called you. These are the times when you are making your calling and election sure. Amen. You know, your election is not sure if you are going to enter the most holy place. But as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. So you know in that Matthew 5, they shall speak all manner of evil against you. They persecute you. They revere you and speak all manner of evil. So, but can you be holy in all manner of conversation? You know, Peter kept on talking about this thing unto Peter chapter 3. Also said in Peter 3. Look at what he says. I remember it's in Peter 3 for 14. Finally, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So, this thing, these are the law of the covenants and the law of testimony of God. Be of one mind. Because the realm of law is one mind. Ephesians chapter 4. One calling. From verse 6, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. There's one body, one spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Finally, be of one mind, having compassion one of another. You have compassion. Compassion. These are the laws. All of us have one mind. We mind one thing. The Son mind what the Father mind. The Father mind what the Son mind. Both the Father and the Son mind what eternal God mind. Those are the laws. What is one mind here? Covenants. Can two work together except they agree in one? Or 1 John 5. There are three that bear witness on earth, the spirits, the water, the blood. These three agree in one. All of them must agree in one in your mind. They must agree one in your heart. They must agree one in your conscience. The walking, the word, the law of God, and what the prophecy, the book must agree one. What may God to be one is that the same thing that is running the Father is the same that is running the Son. And the same that is running the word is running God. The same word of God bind them together. That's what I say, that's what I'm saying. Say, bind up the testimony. See the law to bind up. When you bind two things together, it become one. So you remember the vision of Joseph. There were 12 sheep that fed them. And later he said he binding them together. For behold, we are binding sheep in the feet. And lo, my sheep arose. To now bind things together. When you bind together, you become one. You know, we used to ask for a band. Different paper, you do spiral band them together into one booklet. There are many. By the time you do spiral band it, they become one. So they bind up the testimony. See the law. Those are workings. When the man moves into the scene of the law, the covenant, and the testimony, that's what I say, he's agreeing one. When you begin to agree, that's when you are in the scene of covenant, they are making you one. And therefore, to keep you the spirit in the bond of peace. After that, there's one. And divine to keep you into the spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one, all to one God and Father of all. Peter 3. But be of one mind. So in Christ, we are like-minded. Be of like-minded. Like godliness, God-likeness. But when you move into the season of the most holy, you have used the word of God. And you have used the command of the word of God and move into the scene of the law of God, which is the operation of the spirit of the law of God. Law make you one. The work of the law, the writing of the law is to make you one mind. In Christ, they start training you in portion of oneness. Because in Christ, they give you new heart, new spirit. By the time they take away stolen heart out of your flesh, and they give you an heart of flesh. What they call an heart of flesh is one heart. They call it one heart. One heart. In Ezekiel 11. I will give them one heart. They give you one heart after they have put new spirit within you. I will give you one heart, comma, and I will put a new spirit within you. This is Christ. I will take away stolen heart out of your flesh. and I will give you an heart of flesh. So if you see 36, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. So you cannot have new spirit without new heart. I will take away stolen heart of your flesh. I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. Say my spirit. So to give you an heart of flesh. Heart of flesh is the heart of God. That's another heart. And an heart of God. So they make one mind. It's a united mind. A mind that is like the mind of the Lord. The mind of God. It's not the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of the Lord. What's a Lord? A owner. A master. You are sharing mind. Because you need the mind of the Lord. Mind of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 40. These are the mind of the Lord. Who have directed the spirit of the Lord. Can you see? I said things of the Lord are spirits. That lead to the law. Spirits of life. There's a spirit as a law. There's a spirit as a life. And that spirit, the spirit as life, is the spirit of the book of prophecy. Who have directed the spirit of the Lord. Or being his counselor have taught him. With whom did he to counsel? Who instructed him and taught him the path of judgment and taught him the knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? When you do this, when you read it in Romans chapter 11, all depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable is his judgment and his way are past finding out. Who have known the mind of the Lord? So when you talk about the wisdom and knowledge of God, is the mind of the Lord behind it. It's the mind behind it. It's the mind of the Lord. That one mind of the Lord is one mind. Can you see what it takes to have mind of the Lord? You move into the world of the wisdom and knowledge of God. You begin to search out judgment of God. Ways of God. I use the word, that loss of God. I say, it's the vision of God's thoughts. Because my way are not your way, comma, my thoughts are not your thoughts. When a man has God's thoughts, a man has the spirit of the Lord. Which is called the spirit of your father. So when I call your thought, the thought is what is on the way. Because you need the way, which is the word, operation at agency of the word, to put thoughts there, to make thought. I said, and now for thought, word of law, I say it's a word of likeness in the soul. Image and likeness and breath in the former creation. Let him make man in our image, after likeness, and let him have dominion, and God breath into man. So when you say a man has law, which are to do with covenant, as testimony, they are things of likeness. That means he's sharing in the essence, nature. Because the law, covenant, testimony are responsible for nature. Nature formation in the soul. Nature formation, essence. Laws are responsible for nature. Laws are responsible for, I call nature, essence. Laws are responsible for those things. Covenant, testimony. Because the blood, just as I said, the blood carry things. That the blood is a vessel that carry what? It carry codes. It carry writings. If you want to decode those writings, if you want to decode those things, you go and do, they call it blood work. You go and say, I'm going for a blood work. For them to be able to bring out the genotypes. To bring out some laws, some microorganisms, some infection diseases that are running, to bring them out. So they call the law of life. That means behind life, living life has a law behind it. And those laws are covenant. Those laws are testimony. Things that speak. Just what I read for us in that John 12:14. For I have not spoken of my own self, but the Father which sent me, or the spirit of the Father that is me, he gave me a commandment, what I should speak. First of all, what I should speak first. And what I should speak is the blood that speak. The blood of the Father in me is speaking, he's speaking. The covenant of the Father is speaking. The law of the Father is speaking. So the law speaks. Covenant speaks. Testimony speaks. Those are things that speak. Prophecy is a saying. Every time you read prophecy or you read about the book, in book of Revelation 22, three times he's saying, sayings of the book, sayings of prophecy, three times in 22. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of holy prophets said his angel to show thee, say someone, the things which must surely come to pass. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophets of this book. Then they render it. Then said it unto me, see that thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren prophet, and of them which keep the sayings of the book, worship God. So in the book is our sayings. The law are the speakings. And the what? The word. What is the word? So the sayings, so you can't move into what I speak and what I say without the word. In John 12, 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejected me, what did he reject? My words. He that rejected me and received not my word, art one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So the word is to be spoken. Then you move into pickets of the law. Then the sayings of the book. So they are not the same. The Father give me a commandment. What I should speak first and what I should say. So the sayings of the Son of God are true. Yes, sir. The sayings are true. The speakings are the truth. Or the sayings are life. The speaking are the truth. Revelation 22 says, and he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. The sayings are true. The speakings are truth. Are the truth. The word is grace. The grace. The word of his grace. This is the grace. So there's the grace. There's the truth. And there's the true. There's the grace. The truth. And the true. Truth is from the law. There are two branches. Covenant and testimony. So that's what he was teaching. He said it in that John. John 12, 47. If any man hear my word and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world. I am come, a light unto the world, that whosoever believe on me should not abide in darkness. So is the word. The entrance of God give a light. And understand it to them. If a man hear my word and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. I come, a light unto the world. He that rejected me and received not my word, add one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him the last day. So the first thing you first have access to is the word being spoken to you. The same shall judge him the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. So the word, but what I should is still a future, not what I have said. So I have spoken the word to you. So if you have not accepted the word, if you have not received the word, you will not have access into what I speak and to what I say. You must have received my word to have access to what I speak and what I say. What I should speak and what I should say. There's what I should speak to you. There's what I should say to you. When you say, because you are dull of hearing, I have anything to say unto you. So they were not ready for the sayings of the book. Major, what you guys taught the disciple, what you guys taught the people that follow him, he spoke more of the word. Now, maybe little of the testimony. He didn't finish the testimony. He could not finish his testimony. So, you remember, the same thing happened to the two candlesticks and olive tree. They were key. They had to allow them to finish their testimony. You can finish his testimony and finish his prophecy as a person. But he could not speak the truth of the prophecy. He couldn't say, they brought John the Beloved. He couldn't speak. He couldn't say the sayings of the book. He knows them, but he couldn't say, I have many to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment that what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Your guy is speaking, but he kept saying. Even when he said, he hid it. Like when he was talking in Matthew 7, towards the tail end, which is why he heard these sayings of man. It's like, we're talking about that beat his house upon a rock. You know, that rock is a word. Rock is word. The person has word or he has a rock. Then he has a house, which is a building. He had a word. Then The rain came, descended. The flood came. The wind blew upon it. There are three things that came. Rain is water, flood, and wind. These are three things. But the house remaineth. For you that hear the sins of man and do at it shall be likened into a wise man that built his house upon a rock. A wise man. So your guys just make sure they say and left it. So in that parable is the word, the truth, and the true in that prophecy. In that parable. That Matthew 7:24, downward. He said, he that hear my saying and do it them, I will liken him into a wise man which built his house. So he has his house upon a rock. The rain came, descended. The flood came, the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and he fell not. Does this sound like 2 Peter 1? He that had this thing and abound shall not fall. Wherefore, rather, brother, give thee then to make your calling and election sure. This is a person that said to make his calling and election sure. This is a sure house. He said in Isaiah, it's a sure house. He that hear my saying of man and doeth them shall be likened to a wise man that beat his hands upon a rock. If you do this thing, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you, so you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that Matthew 7 is a man that having abundance entrance beat upon the house and he fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. This rock, it was what Deuteronomy 32 was talking about. Deuteronomy 32, 1 and 2. Is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth. A God of truth. Without iniquity. Just and right is he. So that's what he described. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth. Without iniquity. Just and right is he. So because that kind of a house is right. Because you cannot have a house without a law. For you see a house to stand, it means that house has a law that will not make that house to fall. What is that law? There's an agreement between the house and a rock. The rock will hold the house. It's an agreement, it's a covenant, oneness. But the man built the house upon the sand, he fell. And that is what it takes. He that receive not my word, but reject it, will not have access to what I speak, what the commandment I receive, what to speak and what to say. He came unto his own received him not. So when he came to his own, what he came, he started with, in the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So is the word. As many as received him here, is to receive his word. To them gave ye power. What is power there? Power is the law. Power to become the sons of God. What is the sons of God? As many as are led by the spirits. What's the leading of the spirit there? Law, they are walking the law, spirit of life. It's the law, the spirit of life. He gives them power. To give power there is to give the saints which are speaking. The beginning of giving power is giving of what? Of the law. Covenant and testament, they are all power. They call them the power of endless life. There's a power of endless life. Or the law, the spirit of life. The power of endless. You must deliver power first to them. Power to become. Power to become the life. Many as he gives them power to become. Power to become. They are not becoming. Become is life. But power to become. But you cannot become it. You need the power to become it. And power will not be given to you until you have received in his word. So the power to become, the power there is the law, the covenant, and the testimony. They are the power. Sons of God is prophecy of the book. That is life. That is life. Hebrews 7:16. Who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life, everlasting life, has its own power. So the power there is the provision of the law. So who is made? Power is a maker. Power will make you. It gives power to become, or power to be made. Son of God. That was to become, to be made. Power to be made, means power to become. So, and the provision of power is the truth. Truth is power. The law of truth of the Son of God, the law of the truth of God, the law of God is power of God. Just as the power of Christ of God is faith, for there is no God give from faith to faith. So then we get power to become the Son, according as divine power has given unto us all things. Power will give you things. Power will give you things. Power has given unto us all things. And as the divine power has given all unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So when you have power, power will give you all, power will give it unto you. Eh? When you have, give them power. So giving your power is not, I see power. When they give you power, they are giving you law. When they give you power, they are giving you testimony, covenant. When they give you power, when they give you testimony, they are giving you power. So all those things, they are power to make you become a man that can receive the book of prophecy. Or that can receive sayings. Because sayings is making to life. But as many as receiving it, to them, he gave power to become sons of God, comma, even to them that believe on his name. Which we are born, can you say? Which we are born. Not of power are things that will born you. You'll be born of power. You'll be born of the law. You'll be born of covenants. You'll be born of testimony. And you'll be born of the prophecy of the book. When the prophecy of the book born you, you will overcome the dragon. Of his own will begat it all. These are all born of the law. You will be born of the word of God. But yeah, you are being, to be born of power is to be born of the law. The law. You know, somebody can say, ah, but is the word of God not power also? Say, once have the Lord spoken, twice have heard, all power belongs to God. Once have the Lord spoken. Can you say speaking? Speaking of the law is power. Once have the Lord spoken. When God begins to speak his law, speak his testimony, speak his covenant to you. I'm moving to his saying, he's born, he's born. Being born again. As many as be receiving to them, give you power, which we are born. Not only born of blood. So blood, as I say something, that the law is the blood. It's also spirits. Or to be born of the spirit. I started. When you say you are born of the spirit, but what kind of spirit? Are you born of the spirit of the law? Or are you born of the spirit of life? The man can be born of the spirit of the word. The man can be born of the spirit of the law. When you are born of the spirit of the law, you are born of blood. And the blood means you are born of covenant, you are born of testimony. But a man can be born of life. To be born of life means you are born of sayings of the book. That's life. It's the prophecy of the book. You are born of life. When you read John chapter 3, you also see it from verse 30. He that cometh from above, he that cometh. So when he come from above, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaketh of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth. But no, he testifieth. And no man received his testimony. He that has received his testimony has said to his seed that God is true. For he who God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God have not given spirit by measure unto him. He speaketh the word of God. Spoken the word first. So when they give, God have not given spirit without measure. So God giving spirit without measure. They didn't just only measure the spirit of truth to him. Yes. Of the law. But it also means the spirit of the life to him. Of the spirit of prophecy. The Father loved his Son. And had given all things unto his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth. We are dividing the two spirits, the spirit of the law and the spirit of life. So that spirit must not be given to you in measure. The Son, they gave him the spirit, but they can give you spirit in measure, which is the spirit of your Father. When they give you spirit in measure, when God gives you spirit in measure, God can give you the spirit of his Son to your heart first. When you are adopted, but that's not the Holy Spirit. But they can't give the spirit of your Father. But the Father will give the spirit of his Son. He will send for the spirit of his Son to you, where you can cry, Abba, Father, where you are ready for the spirit of the Father. But you also have the spirit of the Son. When they give the spirit of the Son, they give spirit by measure. But when they give the spirit of the Father, they have given spirit that measure. So you have the spirit of the Son sent to your heart. You will do the work of the spirit of the Son as an adopted. You will fulfill the word. And you fulfill the truth. Then you have life. No one can come to the Father. Then you start to see the spirit of the Father. So that at that same hour, it shall be given to you what you should say or what you should speak and say. So you want to have the spirit of the Son. And the spirit of the Father, of your Father. That's when you say you have the spirit in full. You have spirit without measure. The spirit of yours, the spirit of his Son, the spirit of the Father. But when they deliver you up, take no thought of how or what you should speak. So you have to move from what you should speak and what you should say. For it shall be given you at that same hour what you should speak. First up, for it is not you that speak, but the spirit of your Father
which speaketh in you. So, but you can't receive the Spirit of the Father if you have not received the Spirit of the Son that can cry for the Spirit of the Father of your Father. When you are receiving the Spirit of your Son, you are receiving the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of the living God that comes with the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He had to write upon the tables of the heart, write you up. For man knows that you are declared to be a piece of Christ, ministered by us, not with ink. We are declared to be a piece of Christ. It is Christ the minister this to. Written not with king, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but the fleshly table of the heart. The work and the writing. The table of the heart is the work, which is the heart of God, that the word of God will make. Then you have the Spirit. Every word must have a Spirit. Then it is this kind of man that begins to cry for the Spirit of your Father, which is the law. Because the law, there's the law of the Father. There's not as that the law of the Son. It's the law of the Father. But you must have the Spirit of the Son that have prepared the tables of the heart and put spirits upon that heart. That can call for the Spirit of your Father for the season of the world, of the speaking of truths and the prophecies of the book. Because those things are the things of the Father. Because God would have certain times spoke to the Father, because the Father are prophets. He said in both of Apostles chapter 3, he said, you are children of the prophet. For Moses truly speaking unto the Father, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise. So when you move into prophet, which is testimony, is the Father, Spirit of the Father. Ye are the children of the prophet and of the covenant which God has made with your Father. So when you move into the season of the covenant, testimony is the Father, saying unto the Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. But you cannot have the Spirit of your Father without the Spirit of your Son. So you can have Spirit of God in a measure with the Spirit of the Son.
Yes,
because you're only relating with the Word.
Yes,
unto you, for God, having raised up his Son, Jesus Christ, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. So the Son must bless you.
Yes,
he must bless you before the Father will come and bless you. Because by two immutable things,
yes,
impossible for God to lie. You must have the full Spirit. The Lord is helping us. Thank you for how you have blessed us. Thank you for grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Son of God. Honor you, Jesus. Thank you for how you have blessed us. We are grateful to you, Jesus. We are grateful. We are grateful to you, our Father. We are grateful to you, Holy Spirit. Grateful for you, for Seventh Spirit, for helping us. Thank you. Honor you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Shalom.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.